As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 203-888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours to take it till 5 o'clock. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls up until the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. And we have a series. I told you yesterday it was going to be how the Pistons respond. And this game, game two, the Knicks lose, obviously, 100-94, series tied at 1. Very similar to game 1. Honestly, these two games, other than the 21-0 run that the Knicks pulled off in the fourth quarter in game 1, this series has gone exactly how the Pistons would like it to go. Like, that's what's happened here. We could say whatever we want. I'm still fairly confident that the Knicks are going to be able to win this series, because I do think they're the better team. But these two first games, if you're the Detroit Pistons, you left thinking, we're good enough to be up 2-0 in this series. If it weren't for losing ourselves and not being able to rise to the moment, the inexperience and the having won a playoff game since 08 and all that hovering over the franchise and a young, inexperienced team and a bunch of missed shots and mistakes and turnovers that led to a 21-point difference in the fourth quarter over the span of 5 minutes in game one, this Pistons team is up 2-0 on this Knicks team. Like, that's how the Pistons are feeling right now as they head back home for a game 3 on Thursday. A very frustrating, it's not even the physicality. We're going to do a bunch of different things. Obviously, the missed shots early on, they continue. I mean, they missed their first 8 3-pointers. They were ice cold at the end of the game, And if you're going to get on Bridges, we can get on Bridges. The idea he shouldn't be taking that shot or the idea. He's not the reason they lost this game, but can you hit a big shot like once? Like, I know it's a miss or make league, and that's what the coach is saying at the end of the game, and he's complaining about the referees, which is ridiculous. Yes, I understand the differential in foul shots, but look at the physicality. Now, I don't think the Knicks are being overrun. Like, that's the thing. Like, the Pistons, yes, we talk about the physical nature which they play. I don't think that's the main issue here. I don't think they're being out-physicaled, out-toughed, and we talk about the mentality of last year's team and the grittiness of last year's team, and they're missing that. I look at this like, I think they are giving the physicality right back to the Pistons. I don't think they're being outrun. I don't think they're being out-toughed. I don't think they're being out-physicaled. But what frustrates me is the lack of offense. Like, I watch it. Sure, defensively, there are some flaws. There are breakdowns. Right? They're trying to take away Cunningham's right hand. That doesn't mean you just let him get to the basket with his left. Like, there have been a bunch of issues with this game. But for me, without question, the biggest issue of this game is where the hell is Karl Anthony Towns? That's the biggest issue with this game. The idea that what happened in the second half of this game, as they make the run yet again, and pretty much score all of their points as they're down as many as 15 points in this game, as the Knicks are making their run, which I told you they would. One, the NBA is a game of runs. Two, the Knicks are too talented. And this is what happens, you know, in the fourth quarter of these playoff games, and it was going to be how the Pistons respond. And for a moment, you thought it was going to go the way it did in game one, where the Pistons aren't up to the task. The Knicks are making their run, mainly from the foul line, because God knows they couldn't hit a shot from anywhere on the floor other than Brunson, who didn't even shoot the ball that well in this game. But as they're blowing the lead, as the Knicks are making the run, they get it to a tie game, and instead of folding completely, and the game is absolutely on that shot. Like, Schroeder's three is the game. I firmly believe if he misses it, the Knicks win. He makes it, the Knicks lose. It came down to that shot. But the main problem for me, as we've talked about this coach, we watch this team, like, honestly, you watch this game, and I love Jalen Brunson. And we love how great he's been, and he takes over these games and the 50-point games in last year's postseason, and he's the captain, he's the leader. Let me ask you something right now. If we were watching this Knicks team in 2013, and that's Carmelo Anthony playing this game, we are complaining about hero ball. We are complaining about isolation. We are complaining about he's the entire offense. That's what we would be complaining about today if that was Carmelo Anthony on the floor. That's what we'd be complaining about. We're complaining about there is no offense. It's straight through Brunson. That's it. That's the offense. And that's where it comes down to me for the coach. And I know what's going to happen. And I know we're going to complain about Karl Anthony Towns. And we're going to speak to his softness. And we're going to talk about how he disappears in these games. And clearly, three shots in the second half, zero shots in the fourth quarter. Here's my question, though. And honestly, I understand he's not in the post demanding the ball. He's running through the offense. And quite honestly, it feels like he doesn't want to go into the post because the only offense the Knicks have is Jalen Brunson attempting to get to the basket and then dishing. Either attempting to get to the basket and taking a shot, taking one of his, you know, fadeaway jump shots or one of his high-arcing, you know, floaters. Like, that's it. So you don't want a big man in the middle because you don't want you don't want congestion in there because it's pretty much hoping that Jalen Brunson can get to the basket. And that's where I have a problem with the coach in this game. Because if I'm the head coach and I'm running this team and Karl Anthony Towns is the superstar they decided to go get. This is the guy you traded for. This is the guy you brought here. This is the guy who's supposed to be the second player to Jalen Brunson. He's supposed to be the difference. He's brought here to beat the Celtics in the next round. He's brought here to bring a championship to this team. Karl Anthony Towns is supposed to be the guy, along with Jalen Brunson, to win this game, win this series, and go on and beat Boston. That's what he's brought here to do. And I understand we're going to get on him, and maybe he should be more forceful, right? And maybe he shouldn't allow himself to disappear. But where is the coach to say, let's run the damn offense through Karl Anthony Towns for a while? Why is that not a focus? As obviously you knew that Stewart was not going to play in the game, the more physical defender for Karl Anthony Towns. Durant is not that guy. He's got fast feet. They're talking about it in the post game that it might cause Karl Anthony Towns to have less of a three-point shot because Durant's actually better at guarding the perimeter, a little bit faster, fleet of foot. But Stewart's the guy that is going to be a tougher defender. Set the offense up through Karl Anthony Towns for a stretch, for something to see how it goes. Give Karl Anthony Towns the ball and force it to him. Call a timeout and force the offense through him as opposed to just Jalen Brunson dribbling around. That was the offense. There was zero offensive creativity. Zero. There was zero game plan adjustment. There was, and then in the second half, to allow Karl Anthony Towns. I don't care if Karl Anthony Towns was hiding or whatever we're going to complain about him. If I'm the head coach, I'm not allowing it to happen. He's not in the post. He's hanging around the three-point line, hoping the same thing happens. That's the only bit of offense. Maybe Brunson will drive in and get the look for an open three for Bridges, for Anunoby, who was 0-for from the three-point line. Obviously, Bridges misses the multiple shots down the stretch of the game, but clearly the big one down three in the what was the final possession. But I don't understand. Like, there was zero going on with the offense. And I don't want to hear about complaints about trips to the foul lines. The Detroit Pistons were clearly the more physical team. And obviously rebounds are another huge story in this game as they're out-rebounded 34-48. And that's not who the Knicks are. The Knicks obviously need to do better on the boards. That's a major turning point in this game. Yes, there's a big foul shot disparity as well. But to be fair, getting to the foul line was their only bit of offense in the fourth quarter as they're making a run. Like, yes, for overall for the game, did Cunningham have an easier job of getting to the foul line than Brunson did? Yes. Did the Pistons do a better job of getting to the foul line? Yes. For a home game with the more superstar players, are you expecting to get to the line as much as the Pistons just by sheer gameplay? Yes. But that doesn't change the fact that getting to the line in the fourth quarter was what brought you back into the game. Like, it's funny to me, that's the complaint for the coach when that's what got them back in the game was getting to the foul line. Because God knows they didn't score any other way besides Brunson hitting a couple threes, Brunson hitting a couple floaters, and getting to the foul line. That was their offense in the fourth quarter. It was almost miraculous that they ended up coming back from 15 points down and tying the game. There was zero offensive creativity. Zero. And I'm not absolving Karl Anthony Towns from his own personal blame. Because the idea that this guy, who in both of these games in the first half, is getting good shots and making tough shots. I flipped over to the TNT halftime thing. And, you know, Shaq is they're breaking down the film of Karl Anthony Towns. Getting baskets, posting up, hitting hook shots, going to the, you know, getting some points early on in this game, and then it disappears. It disappears. And in the fourth quarter, to have zero shot attempts in the fourth quarter and only three in the second half, I'm sorry. I'm not absolving Karl Anthony Towns of this, but that has got to be the coach making sure it happens. I mean, this front office, who obviously the coach is a part of, brought him here for this. For these games. And I know his reputation. And again, I really want to make this point clear. I'm not absolving him. But you're watching the game. What's the game plan? Why would he stand in the post knowing that's only going to clog up the middle? And that's Brunson attacking the middle is the offense.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, uncertainty, self-doubt, stressing about not knowing where to start. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like, there had to be some better way to get Karl-Anthony Towns involved. I mean, to me, the rebounding and zero shots in the fourth quarter from Karl-Anthony Towns is the thing that stand out to me about this loss. Like, yeah, inability to hit open shots, absolutely. The physical nature of this game, the style of play the Pistons are bringing, obviously Cunningham having a much better offensive game than in game one. But to me, this coach, he has got to find a way to get his best players involved. Because I'm telling you right now, if this were a game played in 2013, we would be complaining about Carmelo Anthony hogging the ball. We would be complaining about this offense having no creativity, and we'd be complaining about, oh, it's nothing but Melo, it's nothing but Melo. This game is nothing but Brunson. At least in game one, early on, you had OG Anunoby having some offensive ability. Karl-Anthony Towns had his moments in the game. Obviously, you've got campaign hitting big shots. Like, there was nothing in this game. Nothing. And your short Stewart, who's an important bench piece for the Pistons. And this game was completely exactly like game one for every bit of the first three quarters. Like, other than a 5-minute stretch in game one, the Pistons have done everything they wanted to do. They have dictated the action. They have been the aggressor. I think both teams have been physical. I don't know if that's the issue, because I think the Knicks have been physical. How many turnovers have they created? They're backing into each other. They're fighting back. I don't think they're giving up an inch physically. I don't think they're being out-toughed. I really don't. I think it's a brand of basketball that the Pistons are more comfortable playing. And I think right now they have got to find a way to get more creative offensively. There is nothing going on. This game in the second half was completely Brunson dribbling the ball around. Getting to the basket, either taking a shot or trying to get an open look in the for a corner three. That was it. That's the offense. And when they're not hitting the shots, and God knows that in this game, even OG Anunoby from the three-point land is 0 for 4 in this game. Bridges is 3 for 11. Brunson's 4 for 12. Karl Anthony Towns, who probably should be taking more because he's one of the more efficient three-point shooters on the team. In fact, I think he is the best percentage-wise three-point shooter on the team. He's not taking threes. He's not getting to the basket. I mean, he is one of the more proficient offensive players they have. And in game one, he was hitting all kinds of difficult shots. They're being physical with him. The most physical defender isn't on the floor. Why isn't Karl Anthony Towns getting the ball in the post? The only time he gets the ball is from the perimeter, and then he tries to dribble in and ends up getting double-teamed, or that's not the strength. Give it to him down low and make it easier for him. That this is the game plan has got to change going into game three. And we talk so much about this coach, and he's on the hot seat. There is no question. I'm sorry. I don't even know if, even if you weren't on the hot seat with Tibbs going into this series, the way this series has gone, and particularly this game, if adjustments aren't made for game three, because this isn't, he said it in the postgame, it's a hit or miss league. I understand that. I know that, listen, if Brunson hits the shot, if Bridges hits the shot, if a couple of things fall, sure, right? Because they're better than this Pistons team. But you watch the game. Do you think they lost because everything went the way they wanted? They just missed shots? That their offense went the way it wanted? They just missed the shots? That this game plan was executed and it was just a matter of missing shots? Because I saw nothing offensively. And I know a lot of it is I'm driving and listening to Keith, and I know we're all, and I said this all year long, this team is always going to be compared to last year's team because we fell in love with last year's team, and we never saw it get to play together. We had the injuries, even Brunson by the end, OG Anunoby pulls a hamstring, the whole bit, right? They completely fell apart against the Pacers. And that team absolutely was tougher, and that team was more united. And that team did have a better chemistry to it than this team does. But this team is more talented. And part of that talent is Karl Anthony Towns. And would I love to be able to sit here and say, well, you know what, who cares what the coach had to say? He needs to go out there and make his presence felt. I don't disagree with that. He does. But if he's not going to do it on his own, if he's playing inside the game plan, which the game plan was, just let Brunson work. Then if you're going to play it like that, Brunson's got to drop 50, not 37, or you're not going to win. And Brunson's got to be better than 12 of 27 from the floor if you're going to want to win. And you can't count on that night in and night out, and they've got to have a better game plan. And look, I understand they traded for 5 picks for Mikal Bridges. He's got to hit the open shot. I was listening to Keith, and I was listening to some of the calls. I disagree with some of the stuff. Like, Mikal Bridges, that's an open shot. He's got to hit that. Some of them were good shots. Like, you can't play the, like, a lot of it has to be OG Anunoby hitting threes in the corner. Mikal Bridges, and I do think his mid-range game is efficient enough where you actually can get some easy baskets from it. Like, that's the other thing, too. If you're struggling offensively for a while, try and get Mikal Bridges a mid-range jump shot. He's hitting them all over the place. He's been super efficient all year long in his mid-range game. Try and find a quick bucket that way. Get the ball down low to Karl Anthony Towns. Do something different. All we saw was Jalen Brunson. I mean, they would force the ball into him. Bridges would be dribbling at the top of the key, and here comes Brunson, and Schroeder's all over him, and they practically have to hand the ball to him, otherwise they're not going to get the pass to him, and that's it. They hand the ball over to Bridges, and to Brunson, and he's just going to go create. That was the offense. And what's frustrating to me is, mainly, they after all the years of waiting for the right superstar, after all the years of, oh, this, you know, maybe this, you know, obviously Giannis could shake loose, or, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, maybe it's, what's his name in Philadelphia? Maybe it's Embiid. That's the, right. That was, you know, Embiid and what's going on in Philly. Maybe he becomes available. Who should it be? Who's the right superstar? Oh, should we get, you know, Mitchell? Who's the guy? The guy is Karl Anthony Towns. Whether we like it or not, that's who the Knicks chose to be the other superstar with Jalen Brunson. He's one of the five starters at the All-Star game. This guy is one of the more prolific and proficient offensive players in the league, especially at his position. His ability to space the floor, his ability to shoot threes, his size, the ability to make uncomfortable-looking shots. Like, we've seen it in this series. We've seen it all year long. He's had his struggles. He's not the perfect player, but he's who the Knicks have, and it's who they chose to go beat the Celtics and turn this team into something different, and he's disappeared in the second half. And to me, it's on the coach to make sure that doesn't happen and feed him the basketball. And they've got to come up with offensive adjustments for this series. Now, I'm not at the point where game three is a must win. I'm not there. They have to split. They have to head home. Because now I think it's a long series. I told you that yesterday. If the Pistons folded down the stretch of this game like they did in game one, and the Knicks would have pulled this game out in the fourth quarter, I think it would have been a very quick series. Now I think they're in for a 6 or 7 game series, 6 at the bare minimum. Now they have to go to Detroit and figure out a way to come back to New York tied 2-2, bare minimum. But if the offensive game plan isn't adjusted, if this looks like the same thing we have seen the first two games, because if I'm the Pistons, I'm leaving Madison Square Garden tonight saying, if we didn't completely fold for 6 minutes in the fourth quarter of game one, we've played well enough to leave this building up 2-0. And that has to change. And I'm telling you right now, the talk today is going to be Karl Anthony Towns and this coach. Because there was zero game plan adjustment. Zero. And the offense looked like the same offense we cried about for a decade with Carmelo Anthony. And no one's going to say that because we all love Brunson and we're not going to take it as personally. And, you know, now Carmelo's beloved. Every time he's shown on the Jumbotron, he gets this standing ovation. But I'm old enough to remember how much we all hated the offense with Carmelo Anthony. And he's a ball hogger and you know, he doesn't pass the ball. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Well, I'm not blaming Brunson because it felt like that was the game plan, but that has to change. That was the offense. I was watching Carmelo Anthony last night. And it's one thing if the talent's not there. It's one thing if you depleted Randle and OG with a hamstring and you're trying to make it through a series with no talent around you. You have another starter of the All-Star game standing right there and he's taking no shots in the fourth quarter. 888-808-1019. They have to rebound better, they have to defend better, but mainly they have got to get Karl Anthony Towns involved, and they have got to come up with some offensive game plan adjustments, because this has gone exactly how the young, talented, feisty, physical Pistons have wanted to play this series. Other than 5 minutes in game one, this has gone exactly how the Pistons would want it to go. It's time for the Knicks to dictate how these games are played, because even in the game one win, they did not do that. This entire series has been dictated by the Pistons. And as talented as the Knicks are, then they're not going to win this series allowing the Pistons to dictate the style of play. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll take your calls on the Knicks as they lose game two, 100-94. It is now a series tied 1-1. I still think the Knicks should win this series, but I'm more nervous about it than I was. I still haven't liked really anything I've seen besides the last, you know, besides the fourth quarter run in game one. And Karl Anthony Towns, and if he's not going to do it himself, the coach needs to do it. There has got to be a concerted effort to get him more involved in these games. And this offense has to be more than Jalen Brunson dribbling around, looking for a shot, maybe dishing out to a corner three. Like, there has to be a concerted effort to get the ball out of Brunson's hands into one of your other playmakers. And I don't know, maybe the guy you brought here to be the other superstar alongside him. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with your Nick calls next. We got plenty to do. Obviously, Lindor with his two home runs, including another leadoff home run as he sets the tone for this Met team. And we could talk Lindor all we want. We could talk offense all we want. We could talk Juan Soto all we want. The Mets continue to pitch at a level that I don't understand.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
Mm-hmm. All right, 2:32. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another 2.5 hours till the warm-up show. Coming off a lackluster performance from the Knicks. They got outbounded. They got out-toughed. Although I don't think that's the problem. I don't think they got, you know, it just took, they just looked, they were getting beat to loose balls. I mean, the rebounding is an issue because that's effort, right? Defense and rebounding are effort. And this Knicks team has been better on the boards. And, you know, Mitch Robinson helps a little bit in that department. That's why he was playing a lot. You heard Tibbs say that in the post game. I put Mitch out there because he was the only one rebounding. That was a problem. But to me, it's just, like, you can't come out of a playoff game that you lost, that you scored 94 points in, which I think I heard Bill Pito say the lowest point total they had all year long. You can't come out of that game having zero shots in the fourth quarter from Karl Anthony Towns. And it wasn't, I didn't even get the sense he was afraid to shoot. The game plan was never to run the offense through him at all. Ever. The last minute of a close game, okay, that's Jalen Brunson time, right? He's been extremely clutch. That's fine. You can't do it the entire second half. It just felt like there was nothing to the offensive game plan. And Karl Anthony Towns, whether he's going to do it himself or not, the coach has to force it. And especially with no Stewart, like, you had to try and get him to the basket. 888-808-1019. Let's take your calls on it. But look, it is one game. I do think they will make adjustments. I think they're the better team, and I'm not overly concerned of them losing this series just yet. But obviously, this is about more than just beating the Pistons. And right now, as I look at this team, I just... They've got to have another off... They have to have other offensive options than what we saw last night. And I think they're talented enough to. And these are the games that are going to hurt this coach. I'm just telling you. I'm not telling you that he needs to be fired. I'm just telling you, I watched the game, and the Pistons have offensive games. They have offensive sets. They have, you know, there's passing, there's creating. Now, the Knicks had their fair share of open looks, even in the fourth quarter, and they missed them, but you got to get Karl Anthony Towns more involved. He can't score 10 points in a playoff game that you lose and only score 94 points. Like, you can't. They've got to be better. Mark in Long Island. What's up, Mark?
Listen, I think as far as the Knicks are concerned, the threes at the end of the game, you got to drive the lane a little bit. I mean, try and get the foul. I mean, what, you know,
it was bad.
It was bad.
I don't think they took really any, I mean, other than maybe Brunson, who kind of like put up a couple of bad ones, but that's kind of his game. I mean, he got a wide open look at the top of the key, down 3 points with 10 seconds left. What do you want?
He did, but was he tired? I mean, you know, all of a sudden he's played 40 minutes. Was he shot? I mean,
who?
Brunson. He played 40 minutes.
Yeah. No. Well, listen. Yeah. I mean, it's a playoff game. No, I don't think he hasn't played all that much over the last month because of his injury.
No. He's been hurt.
So I think he's fine. I don't think his legs are bothering him that much. I'm saying like Mikal Bridges. Like you're talking about the end of the game. Or
he was wide open for that three.
That's it. You got to hit your shots. Now look, that's Brunson's game. He's hit some threes. They were down 15 points in the NBA today. It's about threes. I do think your point is well taken, especially if you're going to complain about foul shots. Drive to the basket more. Be more aggressive. But again, I don't even think that's the problem. Because I thought for a lot of it, Brunson does drive to the basket and looks to dish or put up a floater or, you know, work his footwork magic and create a shot, but that's the only thing going on. There was zero passing in the game. Rebounds were down, assists were down. Like, how many? Brunson has 7 assists, Hart has 5, OG has 2. They have 15 assists in the game. Now, Detroit only has 11, and they didn't shoot the ball from three well either. But Cunningham had a good game. They didn't even really play a great offensive game either. The really only difference in the game is to me, rebounding and Karl Anthony Towns not being involved. Liam in Houston. What's up, Liam?
Hey, how's it going, my man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
All right. First, positive. I'm really proud of the Knicks fighting back. You know, I thought it was over at with the way they were playing the whole game, starting the fourth quarter, and they fought back and they showed heart. So we got to give them credit when credit's due. That being said, everything you're saying is true. I felt like the team today weren't really, they weren't taking taking advantage of the opportunities they were given. After misses and getting rebounds, they didn't score. After on turnovers, they didn't capitalize and score. And that's ultimately like what they did them in. But I what you're saying about Tibbs, he's a great coach. I don't know, man. It just seems like in these tough spots, I don't have the confidence. I mean, I love Karl Anthony Towns. I really do love him as a player. I mean, Jalen Brunson's our guy, but he's a great number two to have on your team. And you really, like as you're saying, you really got to get him more involved. I mean, you have a talent like that and a scorer like that. You got to get him involved. I mean, you can't just put everything on Brunson. It just makes no sense.
No, I agree. And I'll tell you this, like, I'm not one to scream for the firing of coaches. I'm not. I haven't done that. I don't think I've done that yet. I think I've always, even with coaches who've, you know, Brian Daboll, who you could argue should be fired, very, you know, you could make a very good argument that Brian Daboll should be fired. I don't think I've ever called for a coach's job. I will tell you this right now. As much as I appreciate what Tibbs has done and building up this franchise, and I still don't think this is going to be the case. But if they lose this series, and they lose it because the games look like this, I think it's going to be hard to not want to change at the coach. I really, if they look like this and there is no offensive game plan adjustment, now, I'm not saying they have to win by 30. I'm not saying they have to win it in the next three. It can go seven. I don't care. It can go seven. That's fine. I don't need a quick series. They need to win this series, clearly. And even if they lose this series and, you know, it's just because they don't hit shots, Karl Anthony Towns, like, I don't know. But as of right now, the way the team looked in these two games, other than the 21-0 run, and the inability to get anybody else involved in the offensive game plan outside of the first quarter, or maybe the first half, OG Anunoby in game one, and Karl Anthony Towns for spurts in the first half, and I guess third quarter yesterday in game one. Like, that's it. That's it. So, to me, this team is too talented to lose this series. There's going to be people saying he needs to get fired if they lose the series, period. If it looks like this and there are no offensive adjustments and each game looks like this game that they lose, I think we're going to really start to have a conversation about the head coach. A fair one, even for the Tibbs lovers. And I understand why you would love him. Where we are right now, I am complaining about a tied series and the way they played in this playoff game. I mean, as a favorite in the first round, that is so far and away better than what we've been complaining about for the last 25 years that it's amazing to me. We should take a step back still and just acknowledge at least, hey, where we are right now, we're upset that we should be winning, you know, both games of the first game at home, have home series in the first round as the three seed in the Eastern Conference NBA playoffs. And I'm frustrated with not winning game two. It's a far cry from where we were, and Tibbs has been as instrumental as anybody getting us to this point where I could even be frustrated at such a situation. But I just gotta say how I feel. I felt like the second half of this game was poorly coached. That's just a fact. I feel like he was outcoached in this game. I think he's been outcoached in this series. Other than one run, which was good enough to carry them in game one, the Pistons have outplayed the Knicks in the Garden. That's unacceptable. Dion in Queens. What's up, Dion?
Oh, good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thanks for entertaining me when I head into work in these overnight hours.
You do a great job. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome. What I have to say about the Knicks, especially last night, it starts from the coach, I believe. We know the players have to go on the court and play, but Tibbs looked confused last night. Like he didn't have a plan B coming out in the second half. And the way that Detroit came out, they wanted to show the crowd at Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. look. We didn't lose. The Knicks didn't win game one. We right. lost game one, and we're going to show them what we are about. And I'm getting a little nervous here. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, he, like you said, he has to step up. I mean, I'm flying out to Detroit for Sunday's game.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Thursday's game. They have to come out strong like the Detroit Pistons did in yesterday's game.
Yeah, listen, I agree. And they said it on the broadcast. I was obviously watching the MSG broadcast. The team that's down 1-0, the Pistons had to come out with a better effort. I mean, their life was on the line. The Knicks wasn't. I mean, that's a fair assessment. And they came out with more urgency. And then again in the third quarter, out of halftime, they came out with more urgency and kind of played that way pretty much the entire game until the last, you know, 5 or 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, where again, the ball started rolling in the wrong direction. And despite all of my concerns, I still believe if Schroeder doesn't hit that three-pointer, the Knicks are going to win the game. I think that three-pointer, clearly, I mean, if you're watching the game, that's, it's an enormous basket. It changed how the Knicks handled the next few offensive possessions. They missed their threes, and the game was over. But they might have gotten away with it if Schroeder didn't hit that three-pointer. So I understand the effort, right? And we know that this is a young, upstart Pistons team that's going to play a physical brand of basketball. I mean, you know, Thompson fouls out of the game. They're playing very, the refs are letting them play at times. Like, it seems like there's a couple of ticky-tack calls here or there, but for the most part, they're really letting them be physical, letting them play, which I'm fine with. Sounds like Tibbs fine with it too. And I honestly, I don't even think that's the issue with the Knicks. I don't think they're being out tough or out physical. I just think they don't have a secondary game plan. Like you said, there's no plan B to Brunson creating. Brunson hitting his shots, Brunson getting to the basket, Brunson dishing off drives. Like, that's it. Like, you got to get to, you got to get Karl-Anthony Towns involved. Run some pick and rolls. He can shoot as well. Get him open from three. Get him involved in the game. In game one, he was hitting all of these off-balance shots that was keeping the Knicks in the game as they were down 7 points, as they're down 9 points. Like, he was hitting these off-balance shots off the backboard, getting to the basket, and he was doing it to start in game one. I mean, in game two here, he was at the beginning of the game. In the first half, they were breaking it down on the TNT halftime show. Shaq was talking about it. That needs to continue in the second half. And it feels like the game plan is, well, let's just get the ball to Brunson and we'll see what happens. And so he's the, why, you know, all you're going to do is bog up the middle if you stand, if you, what's he going to do? Stand at the elbow and you know, call for the ball? That's not how they decided to play the game. They need to get him close to the basket. And then the other thing is, like, when he does have the ball, he gets it. You know, the one thing about Stewart not being in the game is, you know, Durham was on him a lot. Even, you know, they had Tobias Harris on him as well. So he was kind of getting guarded away from the basket. So he would get the ball and have to drive through two different guys to try and get to the basket. It led to some off-balance shots that he got in game one, but it's too difficult for him to get into the offense. See if you can get him the ball down low so he doesn't have to work as hard. Limo driver Ed, what's up, Ed? How we doing, man?
Hey, buddy. Good morning. Good morning. You know, for the whole year, all right, brother, for the whole year, the Knicks can't even protect the three. Their defense has been terrible.
They have been, that's one of the main poor defending the three. Now, this game, it didn't really kill them because they only shot 22% from the three-point land, but it was almost a killer in game one. It's definitely an issue.
Right, and that, but it's been like that for the whole year. There's nothing that changed. Then you're going to sign Thibodeau anyway to a new contract or extended one. You know, I mean, the Knicks don't have that go-to player. That's one. I know, well, you got Brunson and all,
yes,
that.
And he is.
Yeah, I know
you
that.
You could argue he's the premier go-to player in the NBA this year.
Right. He's a guard, but he's a small guy. You don't have that 6'7", 6'8" guy.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You don't have. Yeah, you got Tyus Jones and all.
You got Carl
Anthony
Towns.
You don't have
Towns.
That guy to take over. Yeah, but he can't take. He don't take over a game.
Why not? Yes, he's done it. I've seen him do it.
Well, you know what? He has done it a couple of times, but he doesn't do it all the time as regular like he should.
Well, I think game three is the time to see if he can, Ed. Let's run the game through him for a while.
Hey, just like you're worried, I'm worried too. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we done lost the series to the Pistons. I wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still be surprised at this point, Ed. I'd still be surprised if they lost the series. I'm still pretty confident that they're going to win the series. I'm just frustrated with the lack of game plan, because if you're going to beat the Celtics, and again, I know that almost seems like, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. All right, they do have to, I am worried they could lose the series. By no means is it a guarantee. I don't feel that confident about it. I still think they're the better team, and I think they're going to find a way to play. They haven't played all that well and got a game. I mean, there's two ways to look at it, right? As I'm saying, the Pistons are leaving Madison Square Garden saying, hey, we outplayed the Knicks both games. We could be up 2-0. I think if you're the Knicks, you say, hey, look, we haven't even played well and we're tied. We're capable of much more. And they are. And, you know, Mikal Bridges, too, he's got to hit a shot. He had really good looks down the stretch. Jalen Brunson was able to create some good looks for them. They didn't shoot the ball well. OG did not have a good night. And Karl Anthony Towns just has to get involved. I don't know what else to say about the game. The rebounding, the hustling, the loose balls. But to me, I can't get past the zero shots from Karl Anthony Towns in the fourth quarter. That has to be different. Like, he was brought here to be the difference maker. Like, he's the star they chose to trade for. He's the guy they brought in. Whether he's the, you know, we'll find out if he's the right guy or not. Maybe he's not. I know we all have our concerns. He has his MO, which has, you know, carried through and been with him his entire NBA career. And right now, I mean, game two here certainly leans into it. But he's the guy the Knicks chose. They've got to get him more involved. And I put that on the coach. I do. Yeah, do I wish that Karl Anthony Towns had the presence and the gravitas inside the team to just say, screw this, man. I've taken three shots this entire half. Give me the damn ball. Maybe. But the coach has got to be the guy to do it if that's not the case. Like, they have to. Karl Anthony Towns has to be a far more involved player. And when I talk about beating the Celtics, it's just a matter of, like, ultimately, it's about winning an NBA championship. It's getting at least to an Eastern Conference Finals. And you're going to have to go through Boston to do it, or whoever they're going to go through, whether it's Cleveland or Boston or whomever they're going to play. You got to have more offensive identities than just hero ball from Jalen Brunson. And that's what it was. It was hero ball. It was the same stuff we would kill Carmelo Anthony about. We would kill Carmelo Anthony for games like tonight. Kill him. And I'm not saying we should kill Jalen Brunson. I'm just saying we've got to. There has got to be a fluid ball. You know, the ball doesn't move. The ball doesn't move. I mean, if you've been watching the games on MSG, how many times has Clyde said too much dribbling? He must have said it every 5 minutes of both games. Too much dribbling, too much dribbling, too much dribbling. There's been no movement of the ball. There's been no off-the-ball movement. There's no cuts. There's standing on the perimeter, waiting for Jalen Brunson to create a double team, and maybe I'll get an open look. That's it. I mean, even with the picks that are set, there's no roll to it. It's just pick and then turn around and stand there. Like, there was one point even in the game I was screaming at the television, a small thing where Mikal Bridges gets off the dribble, beats his defender to the baseline, and he's going to the baseline, and OG Anunoby is standing under the basket, and he starts backpedaling to the three-point line. Just stand there and try and get a layup. Like, there's really no offensive game plan whatsoever. Joey in Staten Island, what's up, Joey?
Hi, what's happening?
What's up, Joey?
I want to say that the defense of Detroit is playing very, very good.
It is.
And it's pretty hard to do things against them when they're playing that well. But I know you say there should be a lot more pick and rolls. That's true.
Anything.
Now, I got a couple questions for you. Was Scooter open that time with the three-point shot?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought Brunson could have closed out better off the pick there, but yeah, I mean, yeah, he had a good look.
And the other question is, did he play Payne at all after last game?
He played a little bit. Yeah, he didn't play nearly as much. Campaign played only 4 minutes in this game.
And he
didn't take a shot. Yeah, he played 4 minutes, didn't take a shot.
That's crazy.
Yeah, listen, every game's a little bit different. Campaign came in and hit his first couple shots, so he rolled with him. You got more out of Mitchell Robinson, played 20 minutes in this game. McBride played 13 minutes. He hit the two of four threes, and one of them was the one of them was the three off of the end of the shot clock, the bank shot. Landry Shamet played 5 minutes in this game, didn't put up a shot. So, I mean, the bench really was non-existent compared to – there's 8 bench points for the Knicks compared to 35. Now, I know Schroeder's 20 of those, but still. Beasley's got 9, and Reed had 6. So it's 35-8 as far as bench points go. That's another disparity. But – there's got to be some game plan. Like, this offense was just too stagnant for me. Now, look, there's a lot of issues, too. There's a lot of issues, too. They need to be more aggressive and get... They didn't take a foul shot until, what, halfway? It was definitely in the second half. They got to get to the basket more. They can't, they can't just settle for all these threes. Not the entire game. At the end of the game, I don't mind... Like, I didn't really mind many of the shot selections at the end of the game, other than Brunson was just doing it all. Like, I want to try and get Karl Anthony Towns involved in the offense, but I thought every three that Bridges took was a good three. I thought, you know, for the most part, maybe one or two Brunson just threw up, but that's, you know, especially it was off of responding to a Schroeder three, or, you know, like, he's trying to, he hit a couple, was in a roll, was hit a couple in a row, maybe he was trying to get a rhythm and thought he was in a rhythm, took maybe one or two bad shots. But I didn't even mind the shot selection or the three-point selection all that much. I just wish that they would get to the basket more and involve Karl Anthony Towns more. He can't take 11 shots and none in the fourth quarter and zero foul shots. He has got to get to the basket. I thought he's defended better in this series, although I wouldn't say he's defended great, but he's defended the rim in these two games better than I expected, or I don't think it's been an issue. I think when Mitchell Robinson's in there, he's obviously been a good defender. You see OG Anunoby defending well. Like, I think they've defended well. I think they've handled the physicality fairly well. I think what we saw last night was they were slow. They were step slow on defense. Not terribly slow. Still only gave up 100 points. And they forced 22% from three-point land. But offensively, they looked a step slow. They weren't getting after the ball. They weren't rebounding. And Karl Anthony Towns was non-existent. Like, those are just, like, the Pistons were just a little bit faster, wanted it a little bit more. Now, to be fair, they did need it a little bit more, but you'd like to see that change, especially in the second half. You could understand starting the game that way, but through the second half, as the Knicks are down 15 points, you would have liked to see some urgency. Now, they did rally back, right? And we heard one caller say, hey, you love the fight. You love the idea they did come back and tie the game. And I agree. There's no fold in the team. I'll give you that. There's no, like, I don't think they're just going to tuck their tails behind their legs and say tonight's a loss. They're going to fight to the end. I'll give them that. But, like, they were just a step slow offensively, and there was no real offensive game plan. They didn't hit their shots when they were open that they had to hit. And Karl Anthony Towns was non-existent. They got out-rebounded 48-34. And they got out, they took 34 free throws to the Knicks 19. And they had 35 bench points compared to 8 bench points. The bench was far better. They got to the foul line more. They out-rebounded the Knicks. They out-hustled the Knicks. And the Knicks had their second best player be non-existent. That's why they lost this game. That's why they lost this game. And the coach has got to come up with a game plan, because Karl Anthony Towns can't take three shots in a half of basketball. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. I don't care if it's the first half. I don't care if it's the second half. Karl Anthony Towns cannot take three shots in an entire half of basketball. And especially in the second half, when you're down, you know, as much as 13 points in the second half. Can't happen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.